You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Back, a lot happening, and some of it involving Kirby Smart and his decision to elevate Mike Bobo. First response, not too many people would have made a big deal about it, but it seems like a lot of people are making a very big deal about it. We mentioned the Blake Topmeyer story earlier where, in a roundabout way, he's insinuating that this maybe is the moment that Nick Saban regains the crown. Let's bring in Connor Riley from Dog Nation to talk about it. Connor, everybody's got an opinion. Let's start with just the hire of Mike Bobo. He's very familiar with dog fans for a zillion reasons. Your thoughts on what Kirby Smart did the other day?
Yeah, I think the hire makes sense. I think when one, you look at the familiarity that Mike has with Kirby, Bobo was an analyst on this staff last year. They've obviously known each other for a long time. Kirby has long had a lot of respect for what Mike can do as an offensive coordinator. But Georgia was not the only offensive coordinator job to come open this offseason. And look, Alabama had to go and hire Tommy Reese, which I think similarly was not seen as a big name. Miami, with all its NIL money and cash, ended up settling for Shannon Dawson there. There just isn't a great, you know, bevel of offensive minds right now out there. And so I think Kirby Smart knew what he had in Mike Bobo, trusted that he was going to be able to continue to run Todd Monken's system and continue to put Georgia in a position where it can bet on its culture, bet on the things that won it a national title in the last two seasons, and continue to try and follow that blueprint.
Connor, I think I know why the negativity, because of what has transpired in the past, but can you explain to those who don't swim in Georgia waters every day why there is at least pockets of negativity toward Bobo?
Yeah, so first impressions are everything in coaching. And the first couple of years where Mike Bobo was the offensive coordinator at Georgia from 2007 through really, I think 2010, those first four seasons he was the OC under Mark Richt, the offense kind of underachieved a little bit, and it did not sort of live up to what Georgia had been doing when Rick himself, a gifted play caller, had been calling plays at Georgia. And I think so much of that, what happened in those first couple of years, sort of plagued Bobo wherever he went, because you look at the last 4 years when he was the offensive coordinator at Georgia, 2011 through 2014, he was producing statistically great offenses that were held back by poor defensive play. And then, you know, Bobo, then he goes on to be the head coach at Colorado State for 5 years. Doesn't exactly go very well there. And then 1 year at South Carolina, 1 year at Auburn. Neither of those went very well. But I think one of the big differences now is just there's so much more talent at Georgia than he was working with, not only at South Carolina and Auburn, but even those 2014, 2013 Georgia offenses, which had some good players, but there was no Brock Bowers type figure. There was no Ladd McConkey. There was no, the offensive line back then was nowhere near as good as it expects to be this coming season. So, you know, short term, Bobo is probably a small step back from Todd Monken. Todd Monken, there's a reason he's an NFL offensive coordinator now. But I think long term, I think what Kirby is doing is trying to set up Georgia to better be in a spot long term, whereas college football continues to change, Georgia can sort of be a beacon of stability in terms of what it presents going forward.
What I think is interesting, Connor, and you alluded to Tommy Reese. I mean, Mike Bobo is certainly more accomplished than Tommy Reese, but you have knowledgeable people insinuating that this is Nick Saban's moment now to take over from Georgia. And most would argue that Georgia has the better offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think it's funny. For years, we always heard about, you know, who's going to knock off Nick Saban, who's going to take him down from that perch as the best coach in college football. And if you obviously consider what Saban has done in the past 15 years, that's still him. But since Kirby Smart left Alabama in 2015, Georgia and Alabama have won the same number of national championships. And so now, you know, Kirby is in some people's eyes monitoring or occupying that top spot as the best coach in college football. And so I think with Nick, again, you move Alabama into a situation where they're hunting, they're going after, you know, trying to take down Georgia, a position that they were very much in, you know, end of the 2000s and succeeded in that aspect, really going after Florida when Florida was the top program in the country and knocking them off and then really owning the 2010s there. So I think with Nick, they're back in a situation where they really thrived and succeeded before. But Kirby Smart is very different from Urban Meyer. And Kirby Smart, I think, is in this for the long haul. He has no interest in coaching anywhere else. He loves the grind that is college football. As much as the sport has changed, he still loves the challenge that comes with winning in this day and age. And I think there's a lot of pride, especially going forward now. Look, there were people questioning Will Muschamp when Kirby brought him in first as an analyst and now as a co-defensive coordinator. There are obviously a lot of people out there questioning Mike Bobo, but if Kirby's able to win with these guys, guys that people said he couldn't win with, guys that had a lot of questions by people based on the way they had coached at previous SEC stops, I think Kirby takes a lot of pride in the fact that he believes he can succeed with people who have said, you can't win with Mike Bobo as an offensive coordinator, Georgia. You can't win with Will Muschamp occupying a prominent role in your program. And he's already done that with Will Muschamp. There's been coach turnover at Georgia before. And I think if they go on to win with Will Muschamp or with Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator, Kirby Smart will never come out and publicly say it, but he'll very privately be like, I told you so. I told you that Mike Bobo was a competent offensive coordinator, and I know what I'm doing at the University of Georgia.
It's interesting, Connor, that there would be this much skepticism considering what you've laid out and what he has done. I realize I'm asking you to try to explain other people's mindset. But what do you think it is that Kirby Smart is taking so much heat for elevating Bobo in particular? Muschamp is a little bit of a different story. Mm-hmm. While others are being praised, and it's almost as if Kirby Smart hasn't been in charge of this program since he got there. I mean, I'm confused. Help me get out of this state of confusion.
Right. Well, I think so much of it is people in Georgia fans and college football fans in general, they have long memories. And if you look at this offensive staff at Georgia now, all these guys, Mike Bobo, Brian McClendon, Del McGee did not, but offensive line coach Stacey Sarles and tight ends coach Todd Hartley, those guys all worked with Mark Richt at Georgia too, no less. And so having that, you know, Mark Richt level feel, look, as successful as Mark Richt was, you did a great job at the University of Georgia. There were people, especially at the end there, that felt like this program underachieved at Georgia. And it feels like even though, yes, you won two straight national championships, you did it with a guy in Todd Monken who was an outsider, who was not part of the Georgia way, part of the, you know, Kirby Smart sort of tree in terms of going out and doing things. He was an outsider and an outside perspective. And it feels like some people see him going with Mike Bobo as just a familiarity hire, as helping out a friend, because Bobo and Smart, they were roommates in college. They've long been friends in the coaching trails and in the coaching circles. And they see this as, oh, maybe Kirby's getting lazy and complacent. I can assure you that is farthest thing from the truth. Kirby Smart loves this job. He loves 365. He loves the challenge that comes with winning in modern college football. And the hiring of Mike Bobo, from Kirby's perspective, he believes that Mike Bobo is the best person to be the offensive coordinator at the University of Georgia. And I think he's very willing to bet the fact that, yes, we won two straight national championships with my way of thinking, and I think we can do it again and potentially win a third straight national championship with that mindset as well.
Connor, considering how quickly he elevated him, maybe I'm answering my own question, although we've known for weeks that Monken was on the prowl, do you think Kirby Smart seriously considered someone other than Mike Bobo for this job?
I don't think so. And I think you can even look at what happened with Buster Faulkner, a guy who was an analyst who they really liked, who was a really key part of this Georgia program. The fact that he goes and takes the Georgia Tech offensive coordinator job, I think indicated that there was maybe perhaps some writing on the wall there. And you look at some of the other, you know, last time in 2020 pre-pandemic, when Kirby was able to go out and bring in a guy like Monken, I just think the college game is so much less attractive now than it was then. And it's a big reason why I think Todd Monken is headed back to the NFL in the first place. But you look at a guy like Brian Johnson, who's potentially going to be the Philadelphia Eagles' new offensive coordinator. he was Dan Mullen's right-hand man as an offensive coordinator down there in Florida, and he elected to go against that, again, go away from the college scheme and say, I trust what I can do as a coach, and ultimately continue my development there. So I do think the lack of attractiveness of being, especially at these high-major programs where you have to have so much level of success. You know, the last guy before Todd Monken was James Coley. You got 1 year as an offensive coordinator. Georgia didn't play very well, and yes, even though they went 12-2 that season, the offense was nowhere near good enough, and James Coley was out of a job after 1 year. And so the pressure at these institutions, I think, makes this job a little bit harder. And if you're not willing to bet on yourself the way that Mike Bobo, who very much knows what this job is going to be and understands the rigors that come with it, I can understand why you might not be all that interested in this job.
Finally, Connor, most people seem to think the job is Carson Beck's or quarterback. What do you think? And if that is indeed the case, how quickly is that quarterback room going to see young guys fleeing for other schools?
Yeah, so I think one important thing to point out in all this, Gunnar Stockton has had a long relationship with the Bobo family. Obviously, Bobo's father, George, is a renowned high school coach in the state of Georgia. And Gunnar Stockton was initially committed to Mike Bobo when he was the offensive coordinator at South Carolina. So there's some long-term ties there and some long-term development. As far as Carson Beck, I do think he's the presumed favorite to be the starting quarterback for Georgia next year. They like what they have. They like what they've seen in their development with him. But he's going to have to go out there and continue to earn it and prove that he's the guy for this job. Georgia's going to want to have this quarterback competition go into the fall in hopes of, you know, keeping three quarterbacks in the room. I think we've seen the importance of having that many quarterbacks in particular to help continue what you want to do on offense and just have quality depth at that position, given we've seen how often guys get hurt and miss time because of the physical nature of playing in the SEC in a week-in, week-out schedule. And so they want to very much keep three quarterbacks on the scholarship roster, and I think their best way to do that is to keep this competition as open as they can going into not just fall camp, but even into the season, given how weak their schedule is with Georgia not leaving the state of Georgia to play a game until September 30th against Auburn. I think Carson Beck is going to be your quarterback next season. I know Georgia feels very good about him, but they also like Brock Vandegrift and Gunnar Stockton a lot as well. And so I think they're very comfortable with ultimately whoever ends up being that guy.
Good luck keeping them all there. Connor, thanks so much. Really appreciate your contribution. Great stuff as what has suddenly become a subplot of the spring. Criticism of Kirby Smart. He's only won two straight national championships. We'll get your reaction to all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. And Mike is up next. Mike calling us from Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I was just calling about this Bobo situation. I think, first of all, it's a mistake to think that half of the Georgia fan base is one way and the other half is the other. I think by and large, all of my Bulldog friends are all excited about having Mike as the offensive coordinator. I think there's a very small group, you know, I'd say less than 10%, that wants to whine and complain. But, you know, there's probably 10% of people that complain about everything. I mean, and I think it all stems from there was one play when Mike was the offensive coordinator back in the day at when we played South Carolina and Columbia, and Mike called a pass play when we had Todd Gurley in the backfield. I mean, you know, and we're on the 3-yard line, and everybody's like, "My God, you've got Todd Gurley, run the ball." And but he called a pass play, and it didn't work. And because of that, all of this. I mean, I really think that it. I just think it's a lot to do about not much. I mean, and at the end of the day, we'd rather have Tommy Rees. I mean, you know, who are we going
to
go after?
Yeah, I mean, that, Mike, to me, is the question. And everyone out there writing and opining, it's their perspective. But it's like the media in some places has decided that Nick Saban now has an opening based on this, while no one knows anything about his guy. And I posed a question a minute ago. If you were going to trust an offensive coordinator in the Southeastern Conference, not against Maryland or Navy or someone that or Marshall, let's not forget Tommy Rees lost to Marshall this year at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Would you trust a guy who's played in the league, who's coached in the league for many, many years, who's been a head coach, who's been a lot of places, versus somebody who's never coached in the SEC on the SEC side? Tommy Rees has coached a number of times on the other side, and I'm trying to think of, you know, let's see. Tommy Rees was the offensive coach against Georgia a couple of times, losses. Against Alabama a couple of times, losses. I'm trying to think if Tommy Rees has beaten anybody in the SEC.
Well, and let's not forget something that's very crucial to Kirby and to Nick Saban, is that Mike Bobo is an outstanding recruiter. And Mike Bobo has a good relationship with a whole lot of the Georgia high school football head coaches.
Right.
And his father was a coach like Kirby's father. And then Mike is an alum, and Mike is a born and bred Georgia Bulldog. And I think all those things matter, you know. And not to mention the fact that I think that Kirby sometimes might be penalized because he and Mike are such good friends. I think that.
Yeah, and Mike, by the way, Kirby Smart just didn't. Kirby Smart knew by bringing Bobo back that he was going to be faced with this decision. He had to know Monken was a short timer. So
absolutely.
You have to think these things out. You can't make impulsive decisions. Oh, okay, let me give a guy a job because he's knocked around two or three times. He could have said, listen, we don't have a spot for you. But he brought him back, and I think he brought him back for this.
Well, Paul, you know Kirby very well. And, you know, Kirby he's so good. He's thinking, he's a chess man. He's thinking way in advance. Look, Muschamp and Bobo both have sons that are playing on this Georgia football team. They're on the roster. Okay? I mean, he wants to keep these guys around. I would venture to say I don't think we're going to have a change in major coordinators now for a long time to come. And that's huge to Kirby.
Yeah, and I mean, Kirby had Dan Lanning in there. He left. I don't know. You tell me. Did the Georgia defense look any different this year?
No. It's Kirby's defense.
Exactly. And by the way, it should have looked a lot different considering what went in the first round of the draft. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, and really quite an interesting situation here. Quentin is in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Quentin.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I want to piggyback off of what Shane, Mike, and Connor said, and I completely agree with all those guys. I mean, I nicknamed Kirby Smart the General a long time ago. And what the General says goes. And let me tell you something about the General. Since he's been there, recruiting through the roof, talent above board, and the aggressiveness of these guys when they take the field, I've seen nothing like it. I mean, the physicality. And the fact that we got Bobo back as an offensive coordinator, I don't think it'll change anything. If anything, I think the Georgia offense is going through the roof. That's what I think. I mean, wasn't he the orchestrator of the highest scoring offense in Georgia history?
Yes.
Okay, and you're looking at that, with the talent that he had, he did that. Now think about the talent that he has now. What can he do with that? So I think it's a big overreaction. And I don't hear, to tell you the truth, I don't hear many Georgia fans of my friends complaining about it. I don't. So I don't get what is this notion that Georgia's upset about Bobo being the offensive coordinator. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. So, I mean, what do you think? Give me your honest opinion on the outlook of the Georgia offense.
I think this is more of a PR situation than an on-the-field situation. And, you know, I don't know why. I think whenever you get fired a couple of times, it mm-hmm. sticks with you. And,
yeah.
You know, the South Carolina job, I mean, that's included in the times he got fired. Well, everyone knows what happened there. He was
yeah.
Will Muschamp got fired. Bobo took over at the end of the season, and then, of course, he was going to be put out to pasture. And they weren't keeping him around. They weren't keeping anybody around from that was that tight with Muschamp. And, you know, the Harsin situation, I mean, I try to think back on that Auburn season, and it was all over the map, and they had the chance to beat Alabama at the end. But that was primarily because Harsin overreacted his first year, bringing mm-hmm. in SEC guys, Derek Mason and Mike Bobo. And he said, you know what? I'm sick of these guys. I know what I'm doing. I'm bringing my own people back to the program.
He didn't have a damn clue.
Look how that worked.
He didn't have a damn clue. Exactly. He didn't have a clue. I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad for Auburn that he's gone. And I don't even like Auburn. But, I mean, I think what people love, you know, what's bothering people is the fact that Georgia had the talent back when Bobo was the coordinator and Rick was the coach, and we didn't push the envelope much.
Hey, I will say this, Quentin. Mark Richt was a good football coach. He was not a great football coach.
Exactly.
You cannot hold anything that happened at Georgia under Richt, you have to forget about, because Georgia let a couple of national championships get away, and it wasn't Mike Bobo's fault. It was Mark Richt's fault.
That's right.
Well said. Appreciate the call. We're into a topic I did not expect today, but then again, I should have. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls, more guests. We are on a roll here on a busy Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back here on a Friday afternoon. Shannon is up next in Georgia. Hey, Shannon.
By Brian Harsin isn't a positive thing, the way things turned out at Auburn.
You're right.
If he couldn't jee-haw with Harsin, I mean, if he was Harsin's right-hand man, I'd be a little bit confused, you know. Secondly, you look at the track record of Bobo at Georgia. In 2014, Bobo leaves to become the head coach at Colorado State. What happened to Georgia's football program after he left? I'm not saying that he held it together, but things really started to unravel for Mark Richt right around 2015. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Bobo's last season was 14, and in 15, it was over. Yeah, you're right.
The nightmare of Brian Schottenheimer. And, Paul, is any Georgia fan that lived through that era – deserves what's the success that we've had lately. But here's my two cents with Paul. I think everybody in sports media needs to continue to question the OC hire of Bobo. Heck, I think they probably need to say Georgia's not going to win but 7 or 8 games next year with Bobo as coordinator. I think they should really hammer it home that this was a terrible decision. Saban's about to retake the SEC, that this is going to be the arrow to the heart of the Georgia program. I need everybody to hammer that home, because trust and believe that Kirby Smart's in Athens, Georgia right now making cliff notes for next fall. Paul, he had those kids convinced last year that nobody believed they were going to win over 7 games. I don't know how he convinced them of that, but he did. And all this is, what's that Coach Saban call that? Yummy rat poison?
Yeah, that's when it's countered. You're absolutely right. Rat poison is good, is when you're doing well. Yummy rat poison is when nobody gives you a chance.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't have a problem at all with the hire of Bobo. I think what Bobo did in 2014 with the talent that he had on the offensive side of the ball was tremendous. I mean, he was blessed with some talent at running back. He was, and he was also hamstringed with some dearth of talent at quarterback and offensive line. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be a problem, but for the love of money, let's just keep on hammering it home that Georgia will underperform now with Bobo as OC, because that's the best thing everyone could do for the Georgia program.
Thank you very, very much. Terry in Arkansas, you're on the air on this Friday. Hello, Terry.
Hi, man. I'm from Possum Grape. I might lose you down here in these Ozark Hills. Well, I don't know that last caller. I tell you what, I wouldn't concede nothing to Alabama because they got Ken Whisenhunt on staff down there. And I don't know how that guy even got a job. But I'm calling to talk a little bit of Arkansas hoops because I still think we're going to win out despite the loss at A&M. And I still think we're going to be doing the dance at the Final Four and have our dancing shoes on.
Jerry, I really admire your optimism after the last couple of days. What are you basing this on?
I'm basing it on the crappy refereeing in the SEC. It's my biggest problem. That's my biggest problem. But, you know, we just ain't had it when who did we play that beat us so bad at home last week? I can't even remember because I listened to it on the radio because I was babysitting. You know, that was just we should have won that game. We should have beat Mississippi State. We're a better team than Mississippi State, and even Mississippi State knows it. Alabama ain't going nowhere because they're too skinny. They ain't got no muscle. They're going to be fading out come SEC tournament. They look like they don't even get to eat at the training table. I mean, Kentucky's just Kentucky, and they're just going to get beat down in Bud Walton Arena. I mean, I can talk trash about everybody's team if y'all want to hear it.
I tell you what, you're talking trash, you have come to the right place. Terry, thank you. You stay the course. I-Man is up next.
Now, Paul Feinbaum, that was a basketball fan. That was a basketball fan. Did you catch that? She said she listened to that game on the radio because she couldn't watch. And I'm telling you, she's a basketball fan. She's been watching for a while. She knows a little bit about what she's talking about. You know, Paul, when Harsin got the Auburn job, he got Derek Mason and Bobo as offense and defensive coordinators. And I thought that was a pretty good deal because both of those guys are good at what they do. And they knew the SEC. They knew the potential of all the teams they had that was on the schedule. They know how they're built. They know what they do best, run, throw, whatever. They know the defenses. And I thought that was a fair, decent hire. But I also expected Harsin to maybe do something a little different as maybe Mason and Bobo went somewhere else. When I first heard the name Bobo, it did throw some caution to the wind with me because I didn't consider him to be very successful after the period with Georgia. But I tell you, just looking at Georgia's schedule, it's not all that heavyweight. They've got great players. And I don't see them losing, but maybe one game, and that'd be to the Auburn Tigers, because the Auburn Tigers are not last year's Auburn Tigers. They're going to be a little bit different. They're going to have a little more bite to their ass. And you know, Georgia may win that game. But I think Bobo's going to do fine at Georgia. And you know, if they stay healthy through 12 games, they'll probably have to play Auburn or LSU. It's not like they got to play Nick Saban. Nick Saban's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's going to stay there till they drag him out because, you know, he's already said, I don't know what I'm going to do without the team. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going. He sounds like Mayo in, you know, what was that movie? The Gentleman or something, you know, with the... I got nowhere to go. I got nowhere to go. You know what I'm talking about. Officer and the Gentleman, is that correct?
I saw that movie. I don't remember that scene when Nick Saban was saying that.
You don't remember that scene?
I remember Jack Nicholson. And... I remember Tom Hanks, Demi Moore. I don't remember that scene.
You don't remember Richard Gere at the bunker? Crying because he didn't have anywhere to go. Is that the right movie?
Well, I do remember Richard Gere, but Richard Gere, I don't think, was in Officer and a Gentleman.
Excuse me.
You're right. I was thinking of A Few Good Men. You are correct about Officer and a Gentleman. I stand corrected, man. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so see, now I got to say, I got nowhere to go again.
Yeah, no, you're right. By the way, I think Nick Saban was in that movie, too.
Yeah, he's the future Mayo.
Right.
He's got nowhere to go. He ain't got a team. And he's fixing to be decimated, and he's fixing to be an old fart, too. Fixing. He's already there. I mean, you know, listen, Paul, you know and I know. You was probably over at Nick's house yesterday giving him his chair call and maybe taking him out for a walk.
And you by know, the way, I mean, that was Deborah Winger and an Officer and a Gentleman.
I wasn't talking about girls. I was talking about Richard Gere and what's the other guy?
Well, Lou Gossett was in that movie.
Lou Gossett, yeah. Yeah. It was Lou Gossett and Gere out there in the training field, and he was trying to get Gere to quit.
Was that the movie at the very beginning? And I can't repeat what they said, but they were talking about they were in the training and the guy took a shot at was it either Oklahoma or Texas? I can't remember which one it was. Remember the scene?
Well, I can't remember
the opening
that.
Scene. I think it was Lou Gossett. The guy said, "Where are you from?"
Yeah, we were talking about the steers.
Yeah, yeah, and I.
Yeah, talking about the steers.
Right. We'll leave it there.
Yeah. That's the movie, and he had the tattoo, and he had to patch it up, and,
yeah,
you know, cover it up, and all that. And come from a tough background. A drinking daddy. A drinking daddy. Kind of remind me of Larry. Drinking daddy. You know, and had to go off somewhere and prove himself. And he's going to be an officer, but he's got nowhere to go. And then you know what, Paul, right there at the end, that one girl says, "They ain't no damn baby." They ain't no baby, Paul. More damn equal.
Yeah, I think the reference was to Texas. The guy said, Lou Gossett said, "Where are you from?" Oh, is it Oklahoma? Oh, okay. So anyway, movie trivia for 100, Alex. Let's check in with Bud in Tennessee. Hello, Bud.
How you doing today?
Bud, we are doing great. Thank you.
I am a vote and nominate member for the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame and the East Tennessee College Football Hall of Fame, and we're going to have our dinner this year, the same day as the spring game, April 15th, and I'd like to invite you and Legend, because this year we give awards to outstanding high school players and then all the players that go into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. But this year we're going to give a new award. We're going to present Danny White with the Alabama State Champion Award. We'll beat Alabama in football and basketball and beat Auburn basketball. I feel like he's deserving, you know, to win.
Well, he does. No, I mean, Alabama beat Tennessee beat top-ranked Alabama, and they beat top-ranked Alabama in football and basketball.
Yeah, that's getting old. I mean, what else you got? What are we going to tell them? What else you got? And also, we beat them 50 to nothing in rugby. 50 to nothing. Now, that's a beatdown right there. And we was national champions in rugby last year.
I didn't realize that. That's amazing. National champs in rugby?
In rugby. I'm as shocked as you were until they told me we won the award.
I used to have a rugby shirt. Remember those rugby shirts in the 70s? Everybody was wearing those...
I remember, you're the same age, Paul. You're a few months older, mate. We're the same age, so we went through the same stuff at Tennessee. And,
yeah.
had some of the same memories. Lord, they was. We had some times up there.
Yes, sir, we did.
But I wanted to let you know, though, I thought that that'd be something for me. And but see, they usually have the dinner. We usually have steak or some fancy.
Hey, yeah, listen, you let me know.
I'll
ask Legend, and he can come pick me up, and we'll drive over.
What we're going to have Legend, though, we're going to serve him as some of the finest fricasseed pro. He will be fed pro. And I think that's very deserving.
Now, well, count me in, bud. We're up against a break. More to come on a Friday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back, it's been a busy Friday afternoon. A lot of things happening. Let's get to Brian next in Mobile. Hey, Brian.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
You hear me?
I sure can, yes.
Hey, yeah, man, I just wanted to follow up with, I believe it was Terry out of Tennessee and then the older lady out of Arkansas. Man, when a fan base is claiming a rugby national championship, you know, it's been pretty tough the past several years. And, yeah, I just wanted to say, man, Alabama's going to be back. I know you've been criticizing Bama a little bit, Nick. But, yeah, man, they got on the right track. Got rid of Pete Golden. Nothing against Pete, but Pete was a defensive coordinator out of UTSA before Alabama. Now we got Kevin Steele, and I think we're going to make a big leap on that side of the ball. And then – Tommy Reese coming in, not a very extravagant hire, but, man, I think Nick's going to get back to running the football, taking more pressure off the quarterback. And, man, that's what we were doing, and that's what George is doing now. And I think Nick sees that that may be a way for us to get back up and going.
Well, hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Bruce is in Michigan. You are on the air. Hey, Bruce.
How's it going, Paul?
Very well, thank you.
Well, yeah, I just want to add my piece with Mike Bobo being hired. I think that's a great acquisition. Acquisition for the Bulldogs, Kirby Smart.
Why's that?
Because if you take with him hiring, think about it. He lost as D.C., With Mel Tucker, he had somebody replace him with Lannon, replaced him. And then when Lannon left for Oregon, he had Schumann along with Muschamp come in on the staff as well. And now he brought Bobo back to undersee Monken when he left this year. For the last 2 years, he's been at Georgia. Looking at the offense, understand, you got to remember, he probably averaged 35 points a game when he was there as an offensive coordinator up under Mark Richt. The problem was Mark Richt couldn't keep the talent home in the state of Georgia. I mean, being from Georgia, I know that for a fact.
No, Bruce, all the top you're right about that. Mark Richt was a very good coach, but he did not have the killer instinct that you need to be successful in an age
absolutely
of Urban Meyer and Nick Saban in the SEC. Kirby does.
Correct. I agree with you 100%.
Well, listen, that was a really good call, Bruce. You take care of yourself. Mac is in Colorado. Hey, Mac.
Hey, how's it going there, Mr. Coach Paul Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Roll Tide from Colorado. Hey, Mike Bobo, ex CSU Colorado State football coach.
Yeah, what do you remember?
I wanted to draw a couple. Yeah, back when. You know, he went 3 years of losing, and then all three bowl games, lose. They parted ways under a cloud of, dare I say, racial motivated insensitivity. Just to throw that on the fire for anyone. Well,
I don't remember that. It wouldn't be hard to check out, but he was on his way out.
I'm from Colorado.
Anyway.
I remember that stuff. That was all over the local.
Okay.
So, anywho, you know, the guy that he took over for, Coach McElwain, Alabama. I think his last year there was 10-3. My point is, I think you can take great talent, Georgia, and put a mediocre coach there and still have a good team. But you take a mediocre coach to a mediocre team, and you're going to have garbage.
No, I think you're right about that. I think assistant coaches have to do a lot to separate themselves from the head coach. If the head coach is a problem, then it's going to trickle down. And I don't remember. I mean, the Colorado State is a tough turnaround, and you know, he clearly failed there. I don't think you could look at the other two jobs with Bobo. I mean, it seems like we're going to get a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing and look at Bobo's life story. I don't think whatever happened on the way out of Colorado State is impactful to what he's doing now. Kirby Smart likes him. He's hired him, and the critics are out. We'll take a break. We are halfway home on a Friday afternoon.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.